Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Polished Woman Monday, ladies. How are you? I hope you all had a great weekend. Today, we have a bit of a sad news for everyone. Of course, we all know, you all know about Kelly Preston passing away. And of course, I heard this morning that, you know, they found Naya Rivera's body in Lake Piru, I think. And so this is very sad for all of us. And I'm praying for all the family that they have left behind. And, you know, to John Travolta, be strong and, you know, have faith, you know. And then, but of course, we have to continue with our lives. And I'm excited for our topic for today. Of course, this freaking teenagers. We are talking about motivating our teenagers nowadays and get them out of their cell phone and, you know, do something productive, all right? But before we talk about that, you know, every Monday, we're going to have our word for the day, which is, I'm so happy. Thanks to my producer, Max. All right, so our word for today, this is crazy. I don't know about this, but that's why I have to share this with you. Corona coaster. Corona coaster, it's a noun, it's a noun, the ups and downs of a pandemic. One day you're loving your bubble, doing workouts, baking banana bread, and going for long walks. And then next you're like crying, drinking gin for breakfast or even tequila and missing people you don't even like. Oh my gosh, this is actually so true. So remember, Corona coaster. Yeah, and by the way, before we, you know, continue with the show, I want you all, it's summer. I know a lot of people, they want to go to the beach, they want to go to the lake. Please, please, please be careful, you know, in traveling. Yeah, don't drink and drive and just be careful and make sure to wear your mask and wash your hands. Washing your hands, this is what our great grandma and grandmother tells us all the time, and leave your shoes outside, right? And we totally forgot that because of freaking cell phone, which is I'm going to talk about. So, you know, while we were all teenagers, you know, at some point in our lives, I don't think that there's any fully prepared for what it's like to be a parent on the 21st century, like the parent of a Gen Z, right? the struggles. I mean, some things we can likely relate on to some levels, drama with their friends, you know, their first loves, their first kiss, their first sex. You know, sometimes moms don't even know their first sex. You know, I'm so glad I can't say anything, but there's so many things that are different as well. The access they have on their smartphones, the connections that they can make on social media, and how, because the internet, it isn't always obvious what their interests are. As parents, we may find ourselves asking if we've given them so much freedom, or maybe not even enough, right? We may even worry that they aren't as motivated as we think they should be, or concerned that they are not as productive or as proactive as we'd like them to be. And now with the current pandemic, there are even more questions because there's an uncertainty about it. When or how schools are going to open and help keep our kids safe, all of this can be overwhelming, but you are not alone. Now, you all know that I have three children. Those three children, I'm very fortunate. Yeah, their ages are 31, 25, and 17. So as you can see, As you can see, I have a children every generation. So I have every decade. So I have the millennial, and then I have the Gen. Wait, what is that? What is the Gen X, and then I have the Gen Z. So the millennials, they're still good. They go out, you know, they're all into sports and really, you know, they see their friends. Yeah, they don't have cell phones. They see their friends by going out, right? And then the Gen X, the whole gaming started. So now all the Gen X kids, as you can see, they're very up to now. My son, who's 25 years old, he's like, all he does is like play the game. It irritates me a little bit. And then my 17-year-old, all she does is being on the phone the whole day. So, yeah, she knows she'll get arthritis in her thumb. Right? Oh my gosh. Okay, so that's why we are talking about, you know, how to motivate our children and get them out, you know, of their cell phones and really do things in their comfort zone and do things on, you know, like that are productive, that are helpful. They don't even wash dishes anymore. You know, they don't even, yeah, or make their beds. They don't. And, you know, my daughter, I don't even know if she knows how to do the laundry. Well, sometimes it's also our fault because we do it, you know, we do it by ourselves because we just don't want to like wait, right? So I invited today, I am joined by this amazing author and educator, Lainey Liberty. I hope I pronounced her name right. The founder and creator of Transformative Mentoring for Teens and co-founder and facilitator of the Project World School. Oh my gosh, I wanna hear about what is this Project World School. So here we are, Lainey Liberty. How are you? Welcome to our show.
Hi,
lady. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I'm excited to learn about you. Okay, lady, did I pronounce your name right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lainey. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Okay, first, I'd love to know more about what transformative mentoring for teen is. When did you found it and how does it work?
Okay, so we're jumping right into the heart of it.
Yeah.
So I have been working with teens for the past 7 years.
I want you to tell them, you know, our listeners, your story, how you got into this.
Ah.
Yeah.
Back.
Let's go back. Yeah. The genesis.
Sure. So, well, as you know, we spoke a little bit before the show started. Mm-hmm. As you know, in 2008, the economy crashed. I, too, am from California. I'm from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And at the time, I owned an agency that did marketing and branding, and I was very focused on working with green eco companies and nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And conscious organizations.
Okay.
And I was one of the first green marketers or branders at that time, and our business was thriving. However, mm-hmm. when the economy crashed in 2008, we started to see our clients go away. Now, I was a single mom, and I've been a single mom. And at the time, my son was 9 years old. And so doing, and as you are too, your whole show is about showing up as a woman and doing everything that we can through, not only through our personal lives, but through motherhood mm-hmm. and, you know, really kind of paving the way for our children and for ourselves. So mm-hmm. this is what I took to heart. This was my responsibility. So I was creating a life for my son that was, you know, that I was excited about. I had an agency. I was living really close to my values. I had my heart was on the outside. So everything that I was doing was in alignment, with the exception of having time available to be a parent. So I was doing it for him. I had all the right reasons for doing it.
Yeah.
When the economy crashed in 2008, And also throughout maybe the two previous years, mm-hmm. constantly hearing my son say, "Mom, you never spend any time with me. You're always working."
Wow. Yes.
That became that powerful inspiration to me.
Yeah.
So as the economy crashed and I knew I was not bringing back my staff, mm-hmm. I said to my son, "Honey, let's just get rid of all this stuff. Let's just sell it all and go have an adventure." And he's like, I'm in. So the 9-year-old, my son's name is Miro. The 9-year-old Miro was so up for this.
Yeah.
This was an exciting, you know, adventure for him. So
uh-huh.
in 2009,
mm-hmm.
and
where did you go? What country, what place or state did you choose?
We set off, we were going to do a 1-year backpacking trip together. And since we're from LA, we figured uh-huh. we'd go south. Let's just go down through Mexico.
Yeah.
Head all the way down to the tip of Argentina. And uh-huh. when we get to Ushuaia, we'll end our trip.
Yeah.
So I do have to say, just
so well, I know, you're very strong. Ha ha. Courageous, yeah.
Maybe. Or maybe not. And I'll get into what bravery and courage looks like.
Yeah.
But I do want to say to you and your listeners that it's 12 years. We just started our 12th year. We still haven't made it to Ushuaia. We've been around the world, but we still haven't been to Argentina. So I would just say the 12 years that we've been traveling has been sort of the foundation of the letting go of attachments and understanding that the best let or best planned excursions, you require change.
Yeah, but how do you let go of attachment? That's hard. I mean, you know, that's the first thing that a parent would ask, right?
Well, I mean, how much time do you have? The concept of attachment is really fascinating. And what I mean about attachment to expectations,
mm-hmm.
the expectations of what life looks like, mm-hmm. our relationship to security, our relationship to convention, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's so many things out there that we've been programmed with, that we've been told that this looks like a normal life. This looks like a life that is appropriate to give to your child.
Yeah.
And all of those things are attachments to ideas. Mm-hmm. How do you get rid of them? Well, you face them. You ask yourself, and you ask, I'm going to talk a little bit about family culture a little bit later on, but you mm-hmm. ask the foundation of your family culture, which is based on values and ethics and morals, mm-hmm. do these rules, do these attachments make sense?
Yeah.
And if you can do that within the structure of a family culture mm-hmm. together, you have the courage, as you put it, to face and question mm-hmm. what the beliefs were or are mm-hmm. from mainstream society, from yourself that you've taken in as one of your foundational beliefs. And as a family, do these things resonate? Is this security? Is this, you know, a reasonable way to live our lives? Are we living in alignment with our morals and ethics? So that's like, we win.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's very good. That's very good. That's a very good answer. Yeah. So, so continue. So how did you, you know, found this whole mentoring for teens? I mean,
okay. Yeah, I didn't quite get up there yet.
Yeah, okay. So
what happened was we started to travel, mm-hmm. and my 9-year-old son turned into a 10-year-old son. And as we moved through the early teens, we really discovered, you know, throughout those first couple years especially, we started to really change our perspectives. Mm-hmm. We started to change things that we value. We started to question those truths that I was about. And one of the things that we questioned was, number one, what is the purpose of education? Because the first year after we decided to continue the journey, I, as a responsible parent, had to discover and define how I was going to educate my child. My son went into, he was in a conventional school up until the point that we started to travel. We were not a homeschooling family. He went to school, I worked. That was it. There was no room for any other options, especially as a single parent.
Yeah.
So after the first year and all of these changes started to happen between both of us, interpersonal and family changes, and when we discovered the alternative styles of education, we only did that because we started to question, what is the purpose of education? Mm-hmm. Well, the purpose of education, as we defined it, was to learn, to create a love of learning, so we have the ability to research, you know, and find out any information that we wanted to learn, to seek out and be intrinsically motivated to learn, meaning the motivation came from inside, and to learn together. And then we also noticed that our brains were naturally learning as we started to travel. Like, we
couldn't
but to learn. We were learning so naturally. And that led me down a path to really research. Like, I've got a doctorate level research. In terms of brain development, learning, and then that brought me into learning more about the teen brain. And so we'll talk about that when we get around to talking about teen. I am a self-directed learner. I'm not claiming that I have a master's degree or a doctorate degree. But the intrinsic motivation to learn and to create these the foundation of knowledge, because it became a tool in my life, was one of the most powerful things. And through doing that, that kind of research and learning, I was modeling my natural curiosity for my son, who then now became a scholar and all the different things.
I know. It's amazing.
So when he turned, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. But it's you. So you basically homeschooled your son the whole time.
Yes, and in fact, what we did was something that's considered or called or defined as unschooling. It's a
that's a new word for us, Max. Unschooling.
Self-directed learning, and when you take the self-directed learning into the family structure, it becomes a partnership paradigm. And so what that means is, as a parent, you are learning in partnership with your child or children. You are creating opportunities for them to learn. You are finding resources based on their interests. You are encouraging. You are highly present. And it's not like, okay, not that there's anything wrong with sending your kids to school, but sending your kids to school is a disconnected, unattached way of partnering with your child. Partnering with their learning. When you unschool, you're the partner in learning. The partnership paradigm is really an active stance. So when my son started hit adolescence, things changed. Each year always do present this different set of circumstances, a different set of understanding, and a different set of needs. This is a time where their brain is developing. They're starting to prune things that they learned as a young child that no longer are relevant to them. Uh-huh. This is the time where they start to individuate, and social learning becomes one of the foundations mm-hmm. of their learning. Mm-hmm. And it also is a time where they're creating meaning to things in their life. Okay. So being a self-directed learner, being mm-hmm. traveling, like okay. I think this time we were in Peru.
Yeah.
Being in all of these different places and being highly engaged and really enjoying the process with my son.
But let me ask you, have you ever given your son a cell phone? Or
I know we're going to talk about that. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
all right. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right.
And I know your producer wants to talk.
Yeah.
I think it's important to talk about kind of the nature of first the parenting approach that I mm-hmm. took.
Yeah.
And then the partnership approach I take with teens. And I think just sharing with you the smaller bit of how I got into working with teens. Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. Ah, okay, I get it now.
Yeah. Okay.
So when my son started to enter his adolescence, he realized that isolation was huge. He felt isolated. We mm-hmm. felt as if, you know, we were the only people in the world doing this. He didn't have a school environment to meet friends. Mm-hmm. The majority of the kids that he met his age when we were living in Peru, high in the Andes, were children of potato farmers. And a whole lot of what they found in common. And for him, the concept of community was that one missing piece. And so we started to present at conferences about this form of learning called world schooling. Mm-hmm. And he met teens that were not going to school, that were learning from their home, that were intrinsically motivated, that were following their passions, mm-hmm. that were, you know, nutty like him, that mm-hmm. that had a great sense of communication and a great sense of self, but didn't have that great sense of community.
Yeah.
And after our first conference, we went back to Peru and said, we're going to bring teens to us, and we're going to start creating these temporary learning communities in different places in the world, and create that structure of social learning, community, and also create the vocabulary to process the outer worlds, which is what the teen brain is doing, mm-hmm. and have the vocabulary to really talk about the inner worlds. So from that point on, we started producing these teen retreats. We've done them in Peru, in Ecuador, in Greece, South Africa, Japan, Wales, like Thailand, all over the world.
Yeah.
And what we've been doing for the last 7 years is how, community.
How can our listeners be a part of that? Because I know a lot of parents that are homeschooling, especially now. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting, this is a very interesting thing to do for the parents out there.
Well, our company that produces teen retreats is called mm-hmm. Project World School.
This is the Project World School. Yeah. Okay.
But in March, as our trips started getting canceled one by one, April, we were supposed to be with a group of teens in Japan. Mm-hmm. In May, we were supposed to be traveling through Poland and ending up in Hungary. Yeah. And actually today we're supposed to be in Peru with another group of teens. And the trips are month long. So when you live with a teen and a group of teens, 24/7, for a month, you get to know them. So the schools that I started to self-direct and bring into these facilitation, these group facilitation, mm-hmm. Are tools that I've been using for 7 years. They're self-inquiry, they're self-reflection tools, mm-hmm. they're tools that help us like challenge the limiting beliefs. They're tools mm-hmm. that help keep us, you know, accountable. Mm-hmm. They're tools that help us to tap into our passions. And all of these things are tools that I've been using.
Yeah.
As we're doing these retreats. So transformative mentoring for teens is taking all of those tools, and I am a certified coach, but now taking them to an online interaction so I can still help and facilitate with the teens.
How do we tap that and taking them to their whatever they're passionate about?
Well, what I would say, mm-hmm. first of all, is in order to help or facilitate this kind of inner journey, mm-hmm. it's got to be based on connection. And you as a parent and the parent listeners can do this. It just takes work. The parents of adolescents a lot of times don't feel prepared or have the time or feel like they have the tools themselves mm-hmm. to be able to do that. And another sort of challenge that I've dealt with, as every other parent, we make judgments about our own children based on the history that we know, right?
Yeah, that's so true.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know that your daughter does this.
But yeah.
She doesn't do that starting now, but we're still looking at her as she's somebody who habitually.
Yeah, we're holding them hostage in, you know, their past. Yeah. But what do you think? I mean, how can we? Because what you're doing is amazing, but how realistic it is, because without doing something drastic like banning them from, you know, from their social media or taking their phones away, what can parents do? Do we just say, hey, I'm sending you to Peru? You know, how do you tell them this? How can we let them, okay, can you please put down your cell phone and do something that's more productive, you know?
Okay, so I do, so I, what
I... They might hate me if I say, my daughter might be like, what, you're sending me to Peru, you don't love me anymore?
So what I'm hearing as your question is, you have a frustration that your children or your teens are on their phone, and mm-hmm. that to you is the big problem, right? Mm-hmm.
Most parents, trust me, a lot of them, because I feel like for them nowadays, this is the problem of most parents that I have, you know, encountered and I know, and even my friends, you know, now these kids are, how do I say this? Now, instead of being a leader, they are now followers, and they just, you know, I mean, you would know, they're like sheep. They just follow whoever is like the most famous or the, you know, the influencers. And they don't have, like, for example, of course we all know about, I don't want to mention, but I want to do, you know, makeup, blah, 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 because everyone is doing makeup. So instead of like, really, is that really your passion? Is that really your talent? Or you're just doing it because you see other people doing it and becoming successful, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So give us advice.
Okay. So now I'm understanding really what the question is.
Yeah.
I would say, instead of looking at your teen, first of all, from the parent's perspective, this is my advice to the parent. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at your teen through their behavior of the phone or mm-hmm. following influencers and getting, mm-hmm. you know, sucked down a rabbit hole that way. Mm-hmm. Take a look and zoom up and look at the culture and the society that we've born our children into. Okay. And let's look at that from a really sort of objective perspective. And we've got a bird's eye view, and now we understand that we are in a world that technology is super important, that social engagement happens on this device.
Yes. Right?
We know that from a cultural norm, those are the things that happen. So, okay, we've now zoomed out. We understand that. This is the world we've born our children into.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at how we will zoom back into our individual families. Mm-hmm. And let's take a look at how we've empowered our children and teens to this point to make decisions on their own. If we've sent them to school, and again, there's nothing wrong with sending them to school, we mm-hmm. have to understand that they have never had the empowerment, the personal empowerment, to tap into their own intrinsic motivation. They are not motivated to do things because they feel it from inside of themselves. They are told what to study, what to wear from a cultural perspective again, what to be interested in, you know, what time to get up if they're going to school, when they could eat lunch. I mean, they are told all of these things. And when they come home, many, many teenagers are scheduled. Many teenagers don't have a choice about their after-school activities as well. So it's not any huge mystery that they're following the cultural norms. Mm-hmm. If they have never exercised their own ability to make decisions, to be motivated, and to tap into their own passions, if we as parents never even considered that because we're just busy doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I was that mom too. Mm-hmm. We were busy. I functioned in society. I sent my kid to school. You know, I dismissed them a lot because I felt what I was doing had a higher purpose. Plus, yeah. I had to pay the bills, right? There's nothing wrong with that. That mm-hmm. just happened to be who I was and mm-hmm. who many people are. But sometimes we need to acknowledge that this paradigm that we've set up does not empower our children. And the moment that I started to shift into a partnership paradigm, right? That's that thing that I was talking about mm-hmm. when we started to travel. Everything shifted for me. And in fact, video games and the phone were not a problem because I wasn't upset with the video game or the phone. If there was a problem, it had to do with our family culture. And that empowered me and my family member, which happened to be my son, to define and design what that family culture was. Because he had practiced making decisions and speaking his voice and really tapping into things that interest him, and I got to follow him, he got to follow me when I was interested in going to an archaeological site, which I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. He was not interested, but that partnership paradigm was mm-hmm. a practice. Now, you don't have to do it as big as I did it, but what you can do is, as a family, decide like these four things. Number one.
Okay, I want to write these down. Okay.
What are the values that you hold dear as a family? And each individual person's value is mm-hmm. important. And how do you create a list of five that represent...
What is yours? What is your value?
Community, partnership, mm-hmm. Respect, mm-hmm. and love.
Okay, that's so good.
Oh,
beautiful.
Also, I think I only gave you four.
Yeah.
The other one is fallibility. And I know that's like, what do you mean by
that? Yeah, what's that? Yeah.
That means I have the ability to be vulnerable. I have the ability to be wrong. I have the ability to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I have the ability to repair those mistakes by saying, I'm sorry, acknowledging, healing it, and moving forward. I just gave myself permission to be human. So those were the values.
I know. I love this. Woo-hoo.
So that would be the first thing. choose your family values, your ethics, the morals that are at the core, the heart of your family culture.
Mm-hmm.
The second one would be, how do you want to govern your family?
Mm.
Is this an authoritarian paradigm? Are we punitive parenting? Okay, if it's yes, be clear. Make sure everybody knows that's how you're doing it.
Yeah.
Is this a democracy?
Yeah.
If it's a democracy, then realize that somebody's voice may not be honored because majority rules, right?
Yeah.
Or is this a consensus? And that's what we chose, which again is the partnership paradigm. It's going to feel different for every family. It's going to look different for every family. And you can give it different names and different ways of doing things. And maybe 1 week, one family member makes all the decisions.
Yeah.
And maybe the
That's so true because like I have three kids. I have two kids that aren't very they're Democratic, and I have one that's very Republican. Oh my gosh. I had like one day there was like a big like argument because of that. One is very, you know, very liberal and very modern, and this other one because I felt like he grew up in a more conservative, you know, way, sort of environment. I don't know how, because I'm very liberal. I'm very like, oh my gosh, I'm like very open. I don't understand like how he became very, very, but you know what, that's what he chose. So I'm open. So that's what I told my children. Let's be open, you know, and hear what he wants to say when there's a discussion in the family. So yeah, that's, I'm just, you know, saying, how do we shift the paradigm?
Well, I mean, it's got to be a family decision. And I would say, Jessica, if you could find peace in your family environment with those very different ideologies, you have made one step closer to creating world peace. Because if you could do it in your family, every family can do that in their home.
That's so true.
Right?
It really starts from your home.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have peace in your home, then, you know, that whole partnership that you were talking about, I mean, how can you have, every action has a reaction. That's so, oh my gosh. Wait, what did you say? You give peace to get peace. Did you say the number 4?
No, that was number 2. That is your family governance.
Okay.
And number 3 is, how are you going to apply this structure in your family? So when we do our teen retreats, it looks like this.
Mm-hmm.
Every single morning, we get up, we do a check-in. So that is acknowledging and honoring where everybody is in that moment.
Every morning. I like
every
that.
Every morning we do a quick check-in, and that is simply a word that shares where they are. So I know somebody wakes up on the bad side of the bed and they're struggling that day.
That's interesting. Right, Matt? It's interesting because I do the checking in the evening when we have dinner.
Well, we do also a dinner check-in. The quick check-in is how are we starting our day? The evening check-in, we call it our circle. So my son and I, just 2 people, that's you know, just 2 people. But with our group of teens, when we're on a retreat, like, you know, with 15 teenagers and another adult, right? We do our evening circles, and we open our circle. It's a sacred space.
Mm-hmm.
The structure is super easy. It's what worked today. Okay, this worked. You know, it gives you the opportunity to share gratitude or to reflect, and really point out things from another perspective that you may have missed. So that's powerful too. The second question we ask as we go back around the circle is, what didn't work today. Oh. And that's powerful too, because somebody's feeling may have been hurt and we never knew that.
Yeah.
Or somebody was offended, or somebody had a headache and we didn't know why they were pulling away. And the act
conscious of parenting, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the act of giving language to not only our feelings, but the accountability of this is who I am and this is how I was today is super powerful. And we practice that, like practice. It's a practice every single day. We do our circle, our check-in and our night circle. And
those you just really need to do your work. That's about it. Oh my gosh.
Right.
And you know, sometimes we forget this. The things that you're telling me, like this open circle, you know, at night, we forget to do that. Because sometimes we're not in the mood, or sometimes something comes up and then you just say, hey, how's your day? Good. You know, they answer you one word, right? Good. Fine. You know, but then if you don't act into it and, you know, okay, what else? What was, you know, what didn't work for you today? Like what you said, like all those things. This is amazing. Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yay.
Yeah, okay, continue.
And I would say that all of these things are based on that one thing that will keep your family culture strong, which is connection. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the last one is super easy, and it's simply review. Review, decide, maybe once a month or once every 6 months. Mm-hmm. Is this still where we are as a family? Because we didn't write this in blood or stone. Do we need to shift this? Is this still working in this manner? Should we try different paradigms? Should we go back to authoritarian? Or should we really focus more on consensus? Or is our evening circle or our check-in in the morning not working? Should we adjust that in this way? And the all-in approach and the flexibility, that creates resilience, that creates ownership, you know, the motivation to be present and resilience. If I could shift and change this process to make it work now that we've tried it, we can. And that is a family moving through times and through challenges together. So connection is the key.
Wow.
All of this. So now let me get into teens.
Okay. Now. Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay.
So I work with teens because are we like PG here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
No. Yeah. It's good. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I had a really messed up adolescence myself.
Yes. Yeah.
So for me, I had a disorganized attachment. Mm-hmm. I was rebellious. I was destructive. I self-sabotaged. I did so many things as an adolescent to hurt myself. And those were actions that I had to really work very, very hard on healing.
Yeah.
And that gave me the motivation to go deep into self-discovery work, become a coach, really learn about, like I said, the teen brain, and really focus on my own healing. That was super, super important to me. So that gave me purpose. So when we started to facilitate the teen retreats, I had these tools because I had worked them out myself. And the thing that I didn't have growing up that was most foundational for me was I never felt like I was seen or heard. I was always dismissed. And that was the one thing that I never wanted another teen in my presence to experience. So I saw them. I heard them. I validated them. And that gave me the foundation again to really create an authentic connection. So connection was super important in my own family, being a parent, and super important for me as I became a teen facilitator, because those are the things that sent me on this path of being rebellious, right? So connection is at the core of everything. Mm-hmm. And as I said in the beginning, parents, sometimes it's difficult to set aside, well, you know, last year you were rude and you quit doing this thing that you said you wanted to do, so I'm not spending that money on you because you're like this. We do that as parents without thinking, right?
Yeah.
We dismiss them.
Yeah.
Teens are changing and trying on new ways of being and new perspectives and all the time. And that's what they're supposed to be doing. And if we're pigeonholing them as parents, unconsciously, we have just created damage in our relationship. So that causes them to shut down with us.
Wow.
We're talking about connection. That for a parent has got to be the priority.
Yeah.
On our team to put down their phone. They won't put down their phone because we told them to. Oh, maybe they will. But you've done more damage to your connection and to your relationship by winning, right? By forcing them to do something.
Yeah.
Then to get them to realize that being present in this moment as a family is important. Two different ways of looking at things. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my. We only have 2 minutes left. This is so fast. I've learned, you know, I've taken notes. I've been taking notes. Okay. Please, last one. We only have 2 minutes left. Can you please, you know, is there any final piece of advice that you'd like to offer our listeners about motivating or educating their teenagers during this pandemic?
Okay, so my advice is for parents. I'm going to give you 3 tips.
Okay.
The first one, and these are to get connection, to build connection again with your teens.
Okay.
The first one is simply ask them on a scale of 1 to 10, how you doing today?
Yeah.
They'll answer. 1 to 10 is an easy one.
Okay.
The second one is ask your teen to use one word to describe how they're doing right now. How are you feeling right now? Just one word. Just one word. And the last one, the third one, is ask your teen, do you want to talk about it?
Okay.
90% of the time they're going to say no.
No, yeah.
But guess what? 10% they'll say yes. And if you're consistent with that engagement without judgment, all of those questions were without judgment, you're going to start to build that connection again. If you need support and your teen is looking for somebody to help them, I'm happy to work with you with your teen.
Yeah, how can they find you? Can you tell our listeners and our viewers right now, where can you find where can you find Lainey? Oh my gosh.
So you can find me at transformativementoringforteens.com. And if you have any questions, anything at all, I'm happy to answer them and help you. I gave you a lot of information. I hope this was useful in some way.
Yeah, and I will put all her information on our The Polished Woman Instagram. And all our, follow me. So I'll put all her information on the post that I did for today. Oh my God, thank you so much. I learned so much today. Thank you, Lainey. Thank you so much. Okay, and our tip for today, and we want you to come back, okay? I felt like I needed more from you. So I'm going to invite you again. And for next week, we are going to talk about education. You know, are we really going back to school, or what, you know, what the things that the questions, there's so many questions about the whole going back to school thing. All right. We may not always understand our teenagers, but it's important for them to know that we see them, we hear them, and of course we value them. And we love them. So don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after watching and listening to our podcast. Thank you so much. Bye, Lainey.
Bye.
So nice.
someone.